Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So if you spend a lot of time on Facebook, do you have many friends who post a couple of different types of pictures or videos? Either pictures or videos of them working out, or pictures or videos of them showing you what they're eating. Usually high protein. I have friends like that. Psychiatrists have said people who do that, they have psychological problems. The study was done at Brunel University. It says that people who share what they eat and how intensely they exercise are most likely narcissistic.
You think?
Well,
it took somebody with the sheepskin to, I mean, I could have told you that.
They're saying, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, you've said that. You were saying that 9 years ago.
Although, who doesn't like scrolling through social media to see your Facebook friends sweating and working out?
Me? I don't want to see that.
Post-workout selfies or the repetitive high-protein recipes.
Oh, see, we travel in a different circle because I don't see that, the latter. I don't really. We have one friend in common who is a lifter. He's a good guy.
I don't mind watching him if he's got breaking a new personal record.
Oh, I can't think of anything I would least like to watch than men lift weights. You know, I don't even want to see women lift weights for that matter. But no, he's. I mean, that's the only person I can think of. Most of my friends on social media complain about the music industry and how. Good independent originals bands can't get a foothold in Metairie, but that's a separate issue.
And here's the definition of a narcissist. I mean, I think most people have an idea what it is. A narcissist is someone who has an excessive interest or admiration of themselves while having a lack of empathy for other people.
As demonstrated by the constant posting of their meals and their lifts. I would just throw that on as a footnote.
I just thought that was interesting because I think we all know people who, you know, they like to work out and eat really well, and many times they like to share that with us on their social media, on their Facebook page.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't be put in the category of lifting weights nor eating well, but there are times where Mrs. Brewster and I may go out for a nice dinner, and when, you know, I'm so hungry that when my entree comes, I may take a picture of it, but, you know, oftentimes I don't do anything with it anymore, kind of very rarely. If I can't make, like, some sort of a commentary, I mean, just everyone is eating food. I'm kind of... Everyone has seen every dish that can be proffered at a restaurant here in New Orleans, or as you like to say, the greater New Orleans metropolitan region.
Yes.
I don't know why you feel the need to say all those words, but just New Orleans metro. Everyone has seen every dish. There's no real need, unless you've got some really good pithy commentary, just, I say, save it.
There was a funny video going around, and I know that there are couples like this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going out on their first date. She is obsessed with social media. He never uses it. And as they're walking into dinner, she's like, oh, I got to take a picture of this. It's in the restaurant, the side of the restaurant. They sit down. Oh, I got to take a picture of that. And he's just looking at her with his jaw open saying, what are you doing?
Right.
They could be farther apart in the world.
Right. Well, I mean, for example, Mrs. Brewster and I went to London this year, and we went to a Gordon Ramsay restaurant. And I'm a big Gordon Ramsay fan. I love Gordon Ramsay. So I did take a picture outside there. And it was just in with the rest of the vacation pictures. No big deal about it.
Well, yeah, that's different. That guy's a celebrity. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Pretty cool.
And he saw me and he said, you, and you, get out!
That would have been really cool if you had that on video. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So it happened again yesterday in New Orleans. It rained really hard for a little while. Rain, heavy rain for a little while. And much of the city flooded. This is a trend, a disturbing trend, that has been happening now. They're saying for about the last 2 years, ever since we had a big August rain in 2017, and parts of New Orleans that historically have never flooded before, flooded. Parts of New Orleans like the CBD, the Warehouse District, and it's happened now a handful of times in the last 2 years, where if it rains hard for a half an hour, we're flooding. And we're flooding bad. And it keeps happening. And people are wondering, what are the authorities going to do about it? Damn it. What are they doing about it? Well, they started last week. Well, they pulled a car out of a drainage pipe from underground in mid-city. That was a good start. What else is blocking the water from draining out of our city? I mean, if it rains 3 or 4 inches in a half an hour or 40 minutes, we're screwed. I mean, and historically, I know people say, look, this happens. You know, we're much of the city of New Orleans is under sea level. This happens when it rains, but it's never happened like this. It's never happened in certain neighborhoods like this.
This is climate change, folks.
I mean, Poydras Street yesterday. Poydras and Barone. Did you see that action? That's where one of the Drew Brees Jimmy John's sandwich shop is. There's a Juan's Flying Burrito right near there. The water was literally over the curb. And it was about a foot off the ground going into those businesses, restaurants. They're saying now that some businesses are thinking about moving out of New Orleans into the suburbs because 3 times in the last year, they've all had to go through the same thing with flooding. Drywall they had to replace, and it's not cost efficient.
In that general area you're talking about, Poydras, Barone, strange places in the CBD that you never would think of seeing something like this. There are people yesterday afternoon, and you can see it on the news and on social media, they are standing on the sidewalks with signs saying, please slow down, no wake, please slow down. Because as people go by, and it's nobody doing anything generally but trying to get home from work yesterday, they're like, please, Mother of God, slow down, because you're pushing the water into our business.
Yeah.
Poydras and Barone.
That happened in, yeah. And
I've been here 21 years. I've never seen water there.
It usually never happens there. And that was happening in a few different neighborhoods. As the local news, they had cameras in different neighborhoods. And people, when they, with the high water on the roads, the people still driving at a fairly decent speed. And when they do that, like you said, the water goes into people's businesses and in different neighborhoods, into people's homes. But this is ridiculous. It's as if the authorities here have no bleeping idea what they're doing. Now, we do have the newest leader of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board seems to know what he's doing. And since he's gotten here, they've pulled at least one car out of one drainage ditch. And look, and before he got here, they were a lost, clueless lot of people, the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, at least the people in charge. But authorities and our mayor, she should be demanding that on a daily basis, people from the city of New Orleans and the Sewage and Water Board should be underground checking every underground drainage pipe, every one of them. They should be doing nothing else. I mean, this is just as big of a deal, if not a bigger deal in New Orleans, than people getting shot every day. This is right there. All right, we can deal with people getting shot every day because a lot of those people, they're living the life and they're at places they shouldn't be and that's the life that they're in. But the flooding, that's all of us. None of us chose this life. Yesterday's afternoon commute home, the afternoon drive rush hour home.
I think there's still nightmare. People trying to get home, aren't there? I
mean, there were people screaming. It was like a movie. I mean, people we know, men and women, women we used to work with, Brewster, stuck. Just stuck as the water is slowly rising.
Right.
I mean, the damage it's doing to people's cars. Did you see some of the cars parked around the CBD and around mid-city? I mean, cars parked where the water was halfway up the car door. No way those people were going to be able to drive those cars home yesterday. Hey, LaTuita Cantrell, our mayor, what are you doing? What in God's name are you doing? There should be no higher priority. Again, it's neck and neck, us flooding when it rains heavy regularly now. It's neck and neck with that and people getting shot every day.
Well, I disagree with that because you said so yourself that you can, for the most part, stay out of those areas.
Yes. Well, right now
you can't stay out of an area that is going to flood because it changes every time it rains.
Right now, dealing with the flooding and figuring out why we flood when it rains heavy all the time, that should be the top priority. I want to see people on their knees, people from the city of New Orleans, people from the Sewage and Water Board. I want to see them, I want to see their feet sticking out of catch basins. I want to see frogmen. I'm calling the, people were saying, where's the Army Corps of Engineers? How about frogmen? One of my favorite parts of the United States military, because they can do it, they can do it in the water, on top of the water, under the water. It doesn't matter.
Did you have your G.I. Joes out again last night?
Yes. This is the largest problem we have right now in the city of New Orleans. Please, for God's sake, Mayor LaTuita Cantrell, you should be on the phone this morning saying, while we're on every old, outdated drainage tunnel, I want people inside of them, because obviously when it rains hard in New Orleans, when the water starts to drain in some parts of the city underground, it gets stopped. It's a tunnel to nowhere. This needs to be figured out now. And I'm telling you, I believe in frogmen. I think they're underrated. I don't think we use them enough. I mean, you've heard of amphibious vehicles. These are amphibious human beings, frogmen. I don't want to be sexist. There may be a few frog women out there, too. But this is who I want to see. I want to see them swimming in the sewers. I want to see them swimming through the drainage tunnels. They're obviously clogged all over the place. Well, hopefully they'll get to work on that.
You don't really believe that, do you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Up until they hired the new guy to head the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board, I had absolutely no hope, because the guy that ran it before him, well, Cedric the Entertainer Grant, he's the guy in that storm I referenced earlier, August 2017, he's the guy that stepped to the microphones and he didn't blame the bad drainage system, the old pipes. He's the one that said, this is
climate change, folks.
There you go. And then at that time, his boss.
A little water in my mouth, I'm sorry.
His boss, Mitch Half Moon Landrieu, he was out west somewhere during that rainstorm. And he came back and he fired his friend, Cedric Grant, as the head of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. I mean, even though he got fired for blaming climate change, when it's really old, outdated, clogged drainage pipes under the ground.
Hashtag security conference.
He was removed from his $175,000 a year job into retirement, where he will make $175,000 a year off the taxpayers of Orleans Parish for the rest of his life. And not only was he a failed head of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board, who knew nothing about sewers, knew nothing about water, he only got that job because he was an old political friend, a political crony of Half Moon Landrieu. He is now sitting up somewhere with his feet up. He has to, because of the flooding, collecting $175,000 a year for life. But this new guy, you see, at least he's pulling cars out of drainage pipes, and there are things happening. So please, Mayor Latuita Cantrell, would you do something about this? For God's sake! How long is this going to happen? Every time it rains a few inches in an hour, I'm going to get flippers out. I mean, even in the warehouse district. Brewster, my place, I live on the first floor. I got rain yesterday. I was running down the hall screaming, I have no mops! I need a mop! Lucky I found one. All right, coming up on the show. The Little Leaguers came back. The world, I got some great news. I mean, as ridiculous as it is when it rains hard, it floods now in New Orleans. Just think about how crazy it is. The best Little League baseball team on planet Earth lives, they play out of River Ridge. They came back yesterday from the Little League World Series. They got a hero's welcome at the airport and then a hero's welcome in the parking lot of the Shrine on Airline and at Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And this Saturday is going to be the big parade. They're having it in Harahan. We'll have all the details coming up. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, every so often when stuff happens around the world, our State Department warns Americans against traveling to certain places. And yesterday, the State Department warned Americans against traveling to Ethiopia. Damn it, I always wanted to go there. But the good news is Somaliland is beautiful this time of year also. So if you're disappointed about not being able to go over to Ethiopia.
Yes, just pack your Kevlar.
Think about that. Coming up next, our world champion 12-year-old kids, our Little League Baseball world champions, champions of the world. They came home to a hero's welcome yesterday. We'll have some details about that and their upcoming parade this weekend here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So the Little League champions of the world who play out of the East Bank of Jefferson Parish in River Ridge, they returned home yesterday. And it's still unfathomable to me to think out of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Little League baseball teams on planet Earth, the best group of 12-year-old Little Leaguers are right here. And they play out of River Ridge. It's still, and I was talking about it on the show last week a few times. And now look, I know there are some people who jumped on the bandwagon over the weekend once they got into the American Championship on Saturday, beating Hawaii, and then the World Championship on Sunday, beating Curaçao. You know, and I had mentioned, see, now with the internet, it's all so easy. You just Google Curaçao. But before the internet, how many people would have been able to find Curaçao on a map? How many people had heard of Curaçao?
I thought Curaçao was like that foot ointment.
Some people, it's a liquor.
That's true.
It's a liquor too. Yeah, you can use it. You can drink it, and you can use it on your feet.
Yes,
you're right.
It makes a lovely cocktail, and it exfoliates dead skin.
And look, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but last week on the show we were saying, hey, if they win a couple of more games, I mean, and we kept saying, keep an eye on these guys, keep an eye on them. And they just kept doing it. And they returned home yesterday to a hero's welcome. The video from the airport, them coming through Armstrong Airport, was pretty funny because there were a bunch of people who lined up. They just happened to be in the airport, either waiting for their plane or just getting off their plane, or a few people showed up there, even though they were, and we told you yesterday on the show, don't show up at the airport.
Well, because officials had asked media outlets to get that word out.
Yeah.
But of course, there are people that are going to do that, and I think everything went fine.
A bunch of local politicians showed up at the airport to welcome them back, and a bunch of people were there. And the looks on the little leaguers' faces, the looks on the faces of these 12-year-olds as they were walking through the airport, they were blown away by how many people cared. I mean, think about it. Until they won the other day, the Little League World Series, nobody cared when they walked down the street or when they were walking somewhere. For the first time now in their lives, when they walk someplace together, they have to part the crowds. And everybody's standing on each side of them, staring at them, holding their cell phones up, recording them, video recording them, and taking pictures of them. The looks on the little leaguers' faces were priceless because they couldn't believe it. They're like, whoa, this is so cool.
Well, a couple of them actually stepped off the plane and took a look around and said, damn, the city flooded again.
And I still love how one of them said, I've been dreaming about this since I was a kid. You're 12.
One of the 12-year-olds, right.
Yeah. And after they landed at the airport yesterday and were greeted by a bunch of people at Armstrong Airport, they were then bussed over to the Shrine on Airline, the parking lot there. And the parking lot right in between the baseball stadium and the brand new, not brand new, but fairly new, Jefferson Performing Arts Center, which is beautiful. And then it started raining yesterday afternoon, so they moved the party from the parking lot inside the Jefferson Performing Arts Center, and the kids were just blown away. You could start to see, though, like later on, a couple of them were getting tired. This morning, they're on their way to school as we speak. They're supposed to be. I mean, what do you do after you've been on the road for about a month? Because they were in Texas for a while, in Waco, Texas. They had a win there to be the Southwest Region champions, and then they came home for a couple of days, and then they went back out on the road up to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and they were there for a week and a half. It's a big deal for 12-year-olds. I mean, flying around the country with your buddies, staying in hotels with your buddies. I mean, most people don't do that until what? They're 18 at least. These are 12-year-olds flying around America, staying in hotels, eating out every night.
They're ordering room service. They're on long-distance calls. They're in the minibar.
They're having a blast. And I was saying, I remember being 12. I remember playing Little League baseball. We never traveled like this, and obviously, but it was just fun traveling to the different ballparks around town with your friends. And now these kids played on national television. They won. They're the champions of the world of Little League Baseball. They've got this experience. And boy, obviously something they'll never forget. I mean, chances are they're never going to be world champions. None of these kids are going to be world champions at anything else ever again. You know what the odds of being world champions are in anything once?
Pretty high.
Yeah. Doing it twice? So again, I don't want to say they've peaked at 12 years old, but they look like they're handling this great. And they look like they know how to. But they always have this on a resume, and they'll always be able to, no matter where they go forever, they could say, you know what I did when I was 12? I did something you didn't do. I was the world champion in Little League Baseball.
I told you yesterday I peaked at 13 or 14.
These kids could say I was the best in the world at what we did. And anyways, so they did that yesterday. They're back in school this morning. And on Saturday, there's going to be a big parade for the Little League team. The champions of the world. It all starts at 12 noon. It's going to be in Harahan. And there's going to be a couple of Mardi Gras style floats. I'm sure there's going to be some Mardi Gras beads as well. But it all starts at 12 noon this Saturday in the parking lot of the Winn-Dixie, 8601 Jefferson Highway. It will roll for about an hour and wind up at the Lions Club at 1 o'clock in Harahan. And then there's going to be a big party and special announcement after, starting at 2:30. So there's your Saturday. Enjoy it, kids. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So in this year's upcoming gubernatorial race, there's a bunch of people that want to unseat our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards. There were 9 candidates to run against him. That list is down to 6 because 3 of them just got disqualified because they didn't file state tax returns over the last several years. Yeah, if you want to run for governor and be governor, you should not only file state tax returns, but you should pay your taxes. 3 of the 9 candidates who signed up to run for governor have been disqualified from the race for failing to file income tax returns. And then there were 6. Republican Manuel Russell Leach, Republican Patrick Duguay, and Democrat MV Vinny Mendoza were all disqualified from the race after a judge found they ran afoul of a state law that requires candidates for political office to have filed state and income federal tax returns and federal income tax returns for each of the past 5 years, according to the Louisiana Secretary of State's office. So none of these guys filed returns the last 5 years, but they wanted to be governor. So. All right, coming up next, we look at today in history, why today doesn't suck. Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
August 27th. Boy, I remember where I was on this day. It was today in 1990.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Stevie Ray Vaughan died. One of the greatest guitar players who ever lived. I remember where I was. That's how much I like Stevie Ray Vaughan. I had just gotten my first pretty big radio job in Hartford, Connecticut at WCECC. And I remember I was...
You were Hopalong Osterlund, right?
I was in my car, not far from the radio station, right down the street. And I remember a breaking special news report came on the radio saying Stevie Ray Vaughan just died in a helicopter crash. His helicopter that he was in crashed into a mountain. And what I remember most was thinking, I had just read where Stevie Ray Vaughan had sobered up. I mean, here's a guy that was strung out on cocaine and alcohol for a few years. And I started thinking to myself, how many times was he probably driving around or riding around so messed up out of his mind on drugs and alcohol, yet he dies sober
right.
in a helicopter?
At the very young age of 35 years old.
And the story goes, and this is a true story, the story goes, he got that seat because they had just played a festival.
As we mentioned yesterday.
They just played a gig, and he took the seat that Eric Clapton was sitting in.
Right.
He said, hey, Slowhand, I need to be somewhere. And the story goes, Clapton gave him his helicopter seat.
Are commoners allowed to call Eric Clapton Slowhand? I wasn't aware of that.
Slowhand.
Yeah, they played at the Alpine Valley, as we mentioned yesterday, center in East Troy, Wisconsin. Stevie Ray Vaughan, Double Trouble with Eric Clapton, Robert Cray, Buddy Guy, and Jimmy Vaughan. 35 years old. I can't remember with the specificity that you did about where I was, but it was just not long after MTV had one of the probably first 8 or 10 Unplugged episodes. It was so new that boob Jewel Shear was still on there. Hey, it's Jewel Shear. This is MTV Unplugged with Stevie Ray Vaughan. And Stevie Ray Vaughan did what to me is the definitive performance, and that is... that is Pride and Joy on a 12-string. It's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And then not long after that, he died.
You can see his videos on YouTube. Just the way he played, just so incredible. And still miss Stevie to this day.
Big loss.
August 27th, it was today in 1955.
Why, today doesn't suck.
The Guinness Book of World Records debuts. It was a fun book for people. And that happened today in 1955. And because of that book, how many people went on to go attempt things that they would never attempt in their lives just to be in that book?
What, you want an actual answer?
I don't have the exact number, but there are tons.
Well, you asked me. You know, I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition. It was on this date.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Knock it off. It was on this date, August 27th, 1992.
Why, today doesn't suck.
It's quiz time. John Lennon's handwritten lyrics for A Day in the Life went at Sotheby's Auction House. Do you know how much they went for? If you have it in front of you, don't look.
I don't have it in front of me. I'll say...
Play high-low.
I'll say $750,000.
And lower. Quite a bit lower.
$400,000.
Quite a bit lower. Again, this was 1992 and not in the climate of...
$175,000.
Lower. Not in the climate of guitars going for $4 million.
$125,000.
$87,000.
Wow. A good deal for that.
Yes. Also on this date, in fact, 1 year prior, August 27th, 1991...
Why, today doesn't suck.
You young struggling bands out there, if you're going to have a debut album, have one like this. Not this album, but one like this with hits like Alive and Even Flow and Jeremy and Black. Yes, on this date, that year, Pearl Jam's 10 comes out and would later peak at number 2 on the Billboard 200 album chart back in 1992. Sad news in Beatle news. On this date, August 27th, 1967...
Why, today doesn't suck.
The Beatles manager, Brian Epstein, who many... There's rumors that John Lennon and Brian Epstein were a little bit more than manager and frontman.
Wow.
If you know what I mean. He died, Brian did, of a sleeping pill overdose. The Beatles found this out while they were on the retreat with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi in India.
How many rock band managers die of a drug overdose?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that surprising maybe if someone in a band, but the manager? You're supposed to be in charge.
That's right. And a happy birthday today to one of the guitarists who many people don't even mention in the top 10, top 15, top 25. And I have turned 180 degrees on this guitar player. I thought, yeah, he's okay. He's not the super performer that the other two are, but he is and should be considered such. Happy birthday, Alex Lifeson of Rush.
And one last thing. August 27th. It was today in 1971.
My today doesn't suck.
Pink Floyd finished recording their fifth album, an underrated album called Metal.
Yes.
And it was the last album they made before they shot to the moon, because the album after that was Dark Side of the Moon.
Yes, it was.
But I like Metal. I think that's
Metal's
a great
album.
I think
album.
That's a great Pink Floyd album that
Echoes,
a lot of people don't talk about.
Echoes,
yeah.
The entire side. That is one of my favorite things to put on headphones and just enjoy the music, man. Don't harsh my mellow. And this is a segment that we call...
My Today Doesn't Suck.
So I have an update on a story that we did not that long ago on the show, but Brewster, you weren't here that day. You were out. I remember, because this is such an incredible story. One day, about a month ago, the story broke that a woman lawyer who was working here in New Orleans as a public defender, meaning that she was representing the poorest of the poor, the most indigent, people that couldn't afford it, shooters, murderers. The news broke that she didn't have her law license.
Ooh.
And she had been working there for a while. And I started saying to myself, you know, I know things get crazy over there on the corner of Tulane and Broad, at the courthouse here in New Orleans. But never have I seen someone who did not have a legal Louisiana law license representing, working for the state, working for the city, representing, again, a public defender, representing the people that don't have any money to represent themselves. Her name is Ashley Crawford. And we were talking about that, and I said, wow, who in God's name would do that without a law license to say, hey, I'm just going to show up and I'm going to represent the poorest of the poor, basically doing the legal version of God's work. And come to find out that was true. And now we've got the details on that. Ashley Crawford twice failed the ethics portion of the bar exam.
See, that's what got me.
She passed everything else. But she, we just learned, twice failed the ethics portion of the bar exam she needed to pass to practice law in Louisiana. And twice she claimed much higher passing scores to get that job representing poor, indigent criminal defendants in Orleans Parish. These documents were just released yesterday. Because I always wondered, since we did the story last month, I wondered how possibly this could happen. How could someone be working in Orleans Parish as a public defender and not have their law license? Well, she had the majority of her law license, but she failed the ethics portion of the bar exam twice. So what do you do when you fail the ethics portion of the bar exam? I guess you walk into the courthouse and say, hey, I'm here. Here I am. Let me represent the poor and the indigent. The documents, like I said, were just released yesterday. They outlined the circumstances that led the state attorney general's office last week to obtain a warrant to finally arrest her on various criminal counts, including public payroll fraud. Her problems began in 2017 when she did pass the academic part of the bar exam, but fell 5 points short of the 80 she needed to pass the ethics portion. When the state bar admissions committee informed her that she failed the so-called multi-state professional responsibility examination, she wrote back and said, well, I think you're wrong. I was under the impression that I passed with a 95. And then she even supplied a screenshot of that test score of a 95 on the online account that she maintained. But the problem is she lied about that. Evidently, she got a 75. And she missed it by 5 points. You needed an 80 in the ethics part. She got a 75. But she lied about it. And she told people that she got a 95. And I guess nobody really double-checked over there at the courthouse on Tulane and Broad. And they said, yes, if you know anything about the legal system in New Orleans, we desperately need attorneys working for minimum wage to represent the poorest of the poor, the people that don't have the money to pay for their own legal defense.
I wonder where the high score for a lawyer on the ethics portion of the exam is.
Well, this
75.
This ended up flying Brewster for about a year and a half, and now and when you weren't here last month when this story broke, I said, boy, they're going to look into this and they got to find out how this happened. She represented many defendants. So what does that mean now? What does that say? Are all of those defendants that she represented, are they all going to have to be retried because they were represented with someone that wasn't qualified to represent them? There are a bunch of people who she represented. And again, it's not like, you know, she flunked a part of the law exam and then fudged the record to go get a job at some big six-figure-a-year law firm. She flunked part of the bar exam and said, I'm going to go work with the poorest of the poor. So her heart was in the right place, but her mind wasn't, and she has just been arrested. I told you one of the charges she was arrested on. She was also arrested. And by the way, she surrendered this past Friday, and she was jailed on counts, again, of filing false public records, injuring public records, public payroll fraud, and practicing law without a license. She was released from jail on her own recognizance. She could face prison time if she's convicted. Boy, and I hope she still ends up taking that ethics part of the bar exam again and then passing it, and then she literally will be a lawyer. But then what's that going to do for her law practice when she's got all of these charges that she's just been arrested for? So do stay tuned. But that's an update on a story that had all of us shaking our heads around here, as the woman who posed as the New Orleans attorney to represent the poorest of the poor, the indigent, twice failed her ethics part of her law exam to get her license, and that's what happened there. Coming up on the show, I got this great instant karma story, and I think you'll love it too. I'm a big fan of instant karma stories. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Boy, phone scams and robocalls are a big problem in our country. And you know, the phone scammers, a lot of these people, they go after older single women, older single men, and they end up taking them for all of their life savings, because these people are, you know, they meet someone, whether it's on the internet or on the phone, and the next thing they know, they think they're falling in love with these people, but it's some professional fraud outlet out of Nigeria. And if you watch the news, you see a lot of these older women and being taken for all of the money that they've ever saved up, and now they're broke, and they thought they were finding love, but they got ripped off instead.
So then what happened?
Well, and there's something else here. The latest, now the FTC is warning Medicare beneficiaries about fraudulent robocalls. What's this world coming to when you can't even trust robots? And what's interesting about the fraudulent robocalls...
There's more?
Sadly, these robotic fraudsters, they're taking jobs away from the human scammers. It's incredible what's happening in this day and age with the scammers. All right, coming up next, I promise I have this fantastic instant karma story. That's next on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little... or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I love instant karma. You know, John Lennon's the guy that said instant karma is going to get you. Well, it's only going to get you if you deserve it. That's what we'd like to think and like to believe, right? How about this? Man's truck stolen while he was robbing store across the street. Now that is the definition of an instant karma story. This happened in Kennewick, Washington, over the weekend, a couple of days ago. After reporting his truck stolen, a Washington State man was arrested because investigators determined he had been inside a store across the street robbing it during the theft. 42-year-old William Kelly, he called the cops on Sunday morning saying, my ride got stolen. So the cops asked him when they showed up, they said, well, what happened? He said, I was at the bar down the street last night, and I got drunk, and I didn't want to drive, and so I'm just coming back here to this area this morning to pick up my car. So the cops went to a couple local businesses, and since there are video cameras everywhere now that show business parking lots, it only took them a few minutes to look at the video recordings, and they saw this guy, 42-year-old William Kelly, pull into that parking lot that morning, Sunday morning, walk across the street, break into the store across the street, start robbing it, and then they saw some guy on a bicycle come by, hop in the thief's car, and drive away. When William Kelly ran out of the store he was robbing across the street and he realized that his ride was gone, that's when he called the cops and he told them that phony story. And that is instant karma. And that is a fantastic headline. Man's truck stolen while he was robbing store across the street. Coming up on the show, wait till you hear what this Louisiana first grader just did. This is incredible. Stay tuned for that report on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. If you're a fan of The Simpsons, there was a Simpsons episode where Homer was going around New Orleans eating all of the different famous foods
right here
in New Orleans. And the way The Simpsons did it, I know it's an animated cartoon, but he's standing in front of all of those places. He was eating a po' boy in front of Gene's Po' Boys, the big pink building. All kinds of different places. Antoine's he was in front of. Antoine's he was in front of. He was in front of all kinds of different places. The Parasols. And it was a funny episode in that scene. The video of that scene has gone around New Orleans. Well, did you see the video of the tourists from Switzerland reenacting the Homer Simpson New Orleans culinary tour. Did you see the video? If you haven't seen it, we've got it for you on our website at bayou957.com. The video is fantastic. Half the video shows Homer Simpson going in front of New Orleans restaurant after New Orleans restaurant after New Orleans restaurant, eating stuff that they're famous for. And then the other half of the video has the tourist from Switzerland doing the exact same thing as Homer. It is fantastic. It is a great video. And if you haven't seen it, like I said, we've got it. It's at our website at bayou957.com. It's one of the most entertaining New Orleans videos I've seen. I'm a huge Simpsons fan. And so to be able to see that and then to be able to see someone reenact that video, to see it in animation and then to see it in person, just so cool. And again, if you haven't seen it, check it out on our website, bayou957.com. Coming up next, you're not going to believe what this Louisiana first grader just did and got in trouble for. This is incredible. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Here in New Orleans, it's time for our mayor, LaTweeta Cantrell, to bring in the Frogmen. Bring in the Frogmen as it flooded again yesterday, our city, after it rained really hard for about an hour. We got anywhere from 3.5 to 5 inches of rain, and the afternoon drive home yesterday, the commute, was a nightmare for people. And not just that, but again, it flooded in parts of the city that historically never floods. Here in the CBD, it was insane. And there are businesses now, and this has been going on for a few years, actually a couple of years since that August 2017 flood that we had when parts of New Orleans are flooding that have never, ever flooded before. And it just shows us that not only is our underground, the pipe, the drainage pipe situation awful, they're so old and it needs to be fixed. But it shows us that they're pulling cars out of there. They pulled one automobile out of there in a mid-city drainage tunnel last week. But desperate times call for desperate measures. Our leaders are dropping the ball. There are businesses that got flooded that had to rebuild two or three times now. They're going to move out of New Orleans if this keeps happening. Every time it rains hard, it's going to cost them thousands of dollars because their neighborhoods are flooding. It's time to bring in the Frogmen. Bring in the Frogmen, Mayor Cantrell, please. I'm a big Frogman fan, and they can fix things. So I saw this story, and I couldn't believe it. In Caddo Parish, in the town of Vivian, Louisiana. Do you know what a first grader did? He lit a church on fire.
Was that wrong?
First grader admits to setting church fire. First grader. You know, we hear about church fires and these sick people that do this for whatever reason they do it for, whether they hate the religion or whatever the case may be. But a first grader? And what does that tell you about that first grader? Is that someone that we're all going to have to keep an eye on as this person grows up and gets older? Because if they're lighting churches on fire when they're in the first grade, just think what they're going to do by the time they get to fourth or fifth grade, let alone junior high and high school. The Louisiana State Fire Marshal's Office has ended an investigation into the cause of a fire at a Vivian, Louisiana church over the weekend. A 7-year-old first grader admitted to lighting the Church of Christ on fire. And by the way, that church is on Christian Avenue in Vivian. The building's vestibule was heavily damaged. Crews were able to determine the fire was intentionally set. The fire started hours after the church's front door was found shattered from a thrown rock. So, this first grader threw a rock through the glass front door of the church, then opened up the door, and set the church on fire with a lighter he found in the parking lot of the church. Using cardboard that was blocking the window, he lit that on fire in the church. He also admitted to lighting a roll of toilet paper on fire in a bathroom there before leaving. And it's interesting, when I guess a few neighbors saw a little kid there when the church was on fire. So the authorities were able to interview the 7-year-old, but they had to interview him with one of his legal guardians. You can't just grab a 7-year-old and start and you know, shine the light in his face and start saying, "Okay, we want the truth and nothing but the truth." So they had to they had to get one of his guardians, and while they were asking him the questions, he admitted it. Picked up a rock, threw it through the glass front door of the church, then lit some cardboard that was right there inside on fire. And if that wasn't good enough, went into the bathroom, got toilet paper, and lit that on fire too.
When I was 7, I had just recently stopped sucking my thumb.
I'm thinking about exactly a 7-year-old. Is this And what's interesting is that the 7-year-old could not give investigators a reason why he did it, but he did say, quote, that he had no feelings of ill will or issues with the church or its the people that go there. He just did it for the sake of doing it.
What do you call that, criminal detachment?
Well, I think that's better than if he did have a problem with the church, or if a problem with the people who went to that church. Could you imagine a 7-year-old saying, "Well, here's my issues with this church, A, B, C, you know, religion and this."
Well, the detachment element of this is the unknown, and that scares me more than actually being able to put a finger on this. To do this with the degree of is precision the word? I mean, how many 7-year-olds know? I mean, it's methodical, it's premeditated, it seems. I don't know. I wasn't there. But this is, it's scary stuff.
If a 7-year-old could do that, and he just did it for the sake of doing it, again, I guess it's better than a 7-year-old having all kinds of problems with religion. But due to the child's age, he wasn't arrested. The boy's guardian has committed to having the family work with the church on its recovery to help fix the damage that their 7-year-old caused by burning the church. I mean, if you're driving to work right now and you have a 7-year-old, or you had a 7-year-old, or you have a child around that age, every once in a while you get a phone call. Hey, you know, your kid might be in trouble for doing something or doing this or... But this guardian got a phone call saying their 7-year-old burnt a church, lit a church on fire, and not just once, but he did it twice. How did he do it? With a lighter he found in the parking lot of the church? I think the churchgoers there have to be more careful with what they're leaving in the parking lot, but It just makes me wonder if this 7-year-old does this at the age of 7. Just think of the possibilities of what this youngster could do when he gets a little bit older. I think everybody in that community of Vivian, Louisiana, in Caddo Parish, Louisiana, they need to keep an eye on this 7-year-old. They should be watching this kid. Coming up on the show, the national publications have now got involved in the America's Best Chicken Sandwich debate that's been going on here.
Please make it go away.
And we'll tell you, a few polls have been done, and we will tell you what the nation is saying about who they think has the best chicken sandwich, Chick-fil-A or Popeye's all-new chicken sandwich. Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, nah. New Orleans only classic rock. So Miley Cyrus is making all kinds of news, Billy Ray's daughter, because she's been seen making out with this another really good-looking woman all over the place, all over in bars in Los Angeles. They were at the MTV Video Music Awards the other night backstage. They were all over each other. Her name is Caitlin Carter, and she's the ex-girlfriend of Brody Jenner, who is the son of Bruce Caitlyn Jenner. But here's why Caitlin Carter had to break up with Brody Jenner. Because if Caitlin Carter married Brody Jenner, her name would be Caitlin Jenner. And is our country, is the world, is it big enough for two Caitlin Jenners? So anyways,
I'm not touching that one.
Evidently, after Caitlin Carter broke up with Brody Jenner, she ended up hanging out with her pal, Miley Cyrus, who just ended her 7-month marriage. And these two, they say they people can't keep them off of each other. And they're making no bones about it. They're in public. They're all over each other, and who knows what this is, but I just thought it was an interesting story because Brody Jenner was dating a woman with the same name as his father, his mother, his...
Oh, please stop.
His parent. His parent. That would have been something, huh? All right, coming up on the show, Troy Aikman works for Fox Network. Now he's the lead analyst on their NFL football games on television.
How's his blood pressure doing? Because during the season last year, there were times where he was just, his face, his eyes were yellow and his face was beet red. Do we have a health update, a medical update
on
Troy Aikman?
I don't think his blood pressure is that great after one of his colleagues at Fox Sports said something about Andrew Luck retiring. Troy Aikman did not like what he said, and he went after him on Twitter. A co-worker.
Oh, boy.
We'll tell you about that coming up on Bayou 95.7.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So some of the memes and the videos about the Popeye's chicken sandwich versus Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich are really funny. Yesterday on our radio station's Facebook page, I put up a video of these women brawling in a Popeye's, and I just titled it "Popeye's Ran Out of Chicken Sandwiches."
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw I put another video 2 hours later up on our Bayou Facebook page.
Look at you,
of a guy crawling through the drive-thru window from the outside to the inside while he was punching a Popeye's employee, and I titled that, Another Popeye's Ran Out of Chicken Sandwiches.
Right. Because you can use things that are completely unrelated, but use the caption to tie them together.
Well, here's the latest meme I've seen about this battle that's going on. There's a picture of the chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the two pickles underneath the chicken sandwich, and they're just barely separated, the two pickles, okay?
Okay, I think I know where this is going.
And the meme says, our pickles don't touch,
yeah.
Just like God intended.
Yeah.
And then it's got the Chick-fil-A logo.
Right. I told you one that I saw. I have to be careful here. It was Colonel Sanders saying, F y'all.
Yeah. Just a picture of Harlan Sanders. Bleep y'all. That was a good one. And by the way, think about what this battle that started on, well, basically it started on the internet. It started on social media, whether it was Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever. And it's just everybody, so many people now are getting involved in this. And by the way, and we've talked about this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. I love both of the sandwiches, but if you held a gun to my head and said you had to pick one, I'd probably lean towards Popeyes. But I love the Chick-fil-A sandwich too. They're both great. It's a great problem to have.
And, it's not a problem. You're feeding into this narrative that it's some sort of we have to make a decision on this. We have to come to a definitive answer.
But people are driving.
I told you last week, I've never spent this. You would think look at me, you would think I eat nothing but fast food. But I rarely eat fast food, and people are just losing their minds over this.
They are.
Well, it's great for both. It's great for every outlet involved. It's great fun. It's the dog days of summer. It's something to do.
Whether it's on social media or you hear people like us on your radio talking about this, look at all of the free advertising they're getting, because we're talking about their chicken sandwiches.
Right.
Well, now the USA Today, the newspaper, they got involved.
That rag.
And they did a, I don't know if it's a scientific poll, but
let me give you a hint.
They did a poll of over 5,000 people, just under 5,100 people. In the USA Today's unscientific chicken sandwich bracket poll. And Chick-fil-A won 54% to 46%.
It's almost like, you know, you have the Oscars, you have the Emmys, the Grammys, and the Tonys. And I think that needs to be an end of it right there. You mentioned earlier how Miley Cyrus had appeared at the MTV Video Music Awards, and I wanted to say, what year was that? They are actually still having that event?
Shouldn't they change the name of that?
Yeah.
Because they don't play videos.
Shouldn't they just not even have that? I didn't know they still had that. Hmm. I guess I'm an old stick in the crud, an old fuddy-duddy. But the first thing I saw was how the Popeyes sandwich was just changing people's lives. And that was 2 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago. Mm. Is any food item that life-changing from a fast food outlet? I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, well, in this USA Today poll, they had the semifinals. They had Chick-fil-A go up against KFC, and Chick-fil-A easily took down KFC. Well, they got more than 80% of the vote. Meanwhile, in the other semifinal, Popeyes easily took care of Wendy's, capturing about 70% of the vote in those semifinals. Then when they got to the finals, when they got to the finals, Popeyes against Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A beat Popeyes 54% to 46%.
Wait, can you slow down? I want to write down these numbers.
In the latest USA Today newspapers and websites, unscientific ballot, chicken sandwich, bracket buster.
I guess the key for me is that none of this translates to free advertising. In fact, I'm so jaded, I go completely the opposite direction. I look at the lines of these two establishments in their drive-thrus, and it's like, I'm not going there. I'll go somewhere else. It's a tremendous, yes, it's free advertising. I find it tremendously fascinating just on a sociological aspect and social media aspect. But I am not one of those who would hear anyone say, my God, this chicken sandwich is life-changing. I still haven't gone to get try one from either place. The last one I had was from Zia, which doesn't really count, I guess, because it's not fast food. But it's just, I'm Michael Jackson sitting back and just watching this, eating popcorn. That's my role in this.
Yeah, this all came down to who's got America's best fast food fried chicken sandwich.
Right.
And one other thing, did you see the meme from Popeyes that said, hey, Chick-fil-A, people are hungry on Sundays too?
Right.
So now it's getting personal.
The gloves are off.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's something. All right, coming up on the show next, I got to get to this Troy Aikman, the lead NFL football analyst on Fox Sports. He just really slapped down a coworker on Fox that he works with, all in regards to what he said about Andrew Luck, the quarterback retiring over the weekend. We'll explain next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So yesterday on the show when we were talking about Andrew Luck, one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, retiring at age 29, it was pretty unprecedented. We've never really seen that before with a quarterback like that, and just saying physically he's had it, he can't take it anymore.
Can I just say something in one second? Didn't get a chance to say this yesterday. I think what Adam Schefter did, tweeting that out during, even though it's an exhibition game, it's a preseason game, I think that borders on tampering. I think he should be sanctioned by the league or by ESPN or both.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that. I brought that up yesterday. If Adam Schefter didn't have to, from ESPN, have to be the first one to break the story, Andrew Luck, the next day on Sunday, was going to hold a press conference. But when Schefter did that during the preseason game in Indianapolis, everybody's got their cell phones, and that's why they booed Andrew Luck when he was walking off the field. Well, this Troy Aikman got involved. He's the lead analyst on Fox's NFL coverage. Some guy he works with on Fox Sports 1 named Doug Gottlieb tweeted, retiring because rehabbing is too hard is the most millennial thing ever. Hashtag Andrew Luck. To which Troy Aikman responded, remember, these two guys work together. They both work for Fox Sports. Troy Aikman responded, that's total bull bleep, Doug. What qualifies you to decide how someone should live their life? So you're now the authority on what motivates Andrew Luck? And if his decisions don't fit into what you think is best for him, then you rip him? Guess that keeps you employed on FS1. Nice. Wow, that's a guy on Fox Sports hammering a guy who works for Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, Doug Gottlieb is well known around here. He was on for, he made his bones on ESPN Radio for years and years and years, and he's had a couple of run-ins with the city of New Orleans over various things.
And not one person on ESPN called out Adam Schefter yesterday.
Yeah,
they all called out the Indianapolis fans. They said, what a hick town, what a small town.
Right.
They started saying, you know, they got lucky because when the Baltimore Colts moved out of Baltimore in the middle of the night, they didn't know they were going. They only ended up in Indianapolis because that's where they ran out of gas.
Right, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. So you know, there was a smattering of boos. It was not like a chorus of boos rained down on Andrew Luck after Saturday night's game.
It's just something we've never seen before because guys that age, they were never allowed to say, I quit before.
But
they would be looked at like Doug Gottlieb just looked at them.
But again, Adam Schefter, that is just, the word would not be collusion or tampering, but that's something that can't happen during a professional sports contest. And mark my words, it's going to happen again. And it's going to be during the regular season. I don't know which sport it's going to be, but it's going to be a problem where you have player movement, whether it be a trade or sit somebody down or whatever. You can't have these journalists doing this during the game.
Yeah. And
the need to know does not supersede the right to exist.
He needed to be the first to tell you, and that got Andrew Luck booed off the field. And Troy Aikman, not happy with what his coworker at Fox, Doug Gottlieb, had to say about that. Look, Andrew Luck can do whatever he wants. It's his life, right?
Right. Well, and he should have been allowed to do what he wanted, which was to have a formal press conference Sunday afternoon at Lucas Oil Stadium with his family around, with the ownership around.
And Adam Schefter from ESPN took that away from
yes,
him.
Yes, he did.
And nobody's calling him out.
Final point on this. Jim Irsay, the owner, did want the signing bonus back, but he has not asked for anything other than that, leaving the door open for a possible possible Luck return.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Andrew Luck return.
Coming up next is our commercial free ride, and we're joined live by in-studio guest, the leader of the Cowboys, at least Cowboy Mouth here in New Orleans, Cowboy Fred LeBlanc. You're going to hang out with us during our commercial free ride next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Hey, joining us now during our commercial free ride, perhaps you hear him here on the weekends. Perhaps you've seen his band before. It's the great Fred LeBlanc, Cowboy Fred from his band Cowboy Mouth.
Thank you very much.
Good seeing you, Fred. And I just brought a story. I reminded you about something.
Uh-oh.
I met you when Jenny Says was a hit and rock radio stations all over the country were playing it back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I was the music director and midday guy at WA up in Boston.
Yeah.
I had much longer hair. You came up, you played up my show, and then that night you played a venue called The Paradise.
Yeah.
We went and saw you there. That was a good time, a long time ago.
Oh, it was great. I remember The Paradise. Paradise was always fun. I remember doing your show. You're just as nutty as you are now.
Kind of nuts. Hey, just trying to pay the bills, dude.
Yeah, I hear you, dude.
You know how it is. How's life in Cowboy Mouth?
Life is good in Cowboy Mouth. We're touring a lot. This weekend we're going to St. Louis and San Diego. We're actually playing a show at Tipitina's on Friday, but the thing I'm here to promote mostly is the Hoodat Fest.
The Hoodat Rally and Music Festival, not this weekend, next weekend, yes. September 7th and 8th. It's at LaSalle Park in Metairie, and you guys are playing along with the Top Cats and Big Sam's Funky Nation, the Producers, Supercharger, and many more. Football season is back, and this is going to be the best black and gold pep rally that you can go to.
It's
going to
be great. It's going to be as much fun, I think, as last year when we got hosed on the Super Bowl. I've been doing a thing where I go around the country. You know, every show we play, you know, I'll talk to the audience and say, look, we got pretty hosed on the Super Bowl. Everybody knows it, you know, and you know, crowds will say, yeah. So we play When the Saints Go Marching In. But I have some new lyrics because I played that,
The Boycott Bowl.
The Boycott Bowl, yeah. I played that. The band couldn't play it, but it was too last minute, and we, you know, Griff lives out of town. So I ended up playing acoustically, and I played When the Saints Go Marching In with some new lyrics that, you know, seemed to really fire some people up, like when Roger Goodell goes straight to hell and when the refs all kiss my ASS, you know, that type of thing. So people loved it. So
look, I know people around here have always loved the Saints, but you have to admit, ever since Breeze and Peyton got here, it's been a different kind of fandom.
Oh, it's magic.
Because when you were a kid growing up in River Ridge, people, they liked the Saints, but they weren't this insane about them.
No, they weren't that insane about them. And number two, you know, I'm old enough to remember the paper bags. I remember constantly being not a bad team, but the worst team in the league, you know. And it just got to the point where, you know, it was very, you know, it just was such a drag, you know, to be kind of a Saints fan back then. I mean, it was fun. We always had the best parties. But at the same time, I remember after Katrina, the first night we played, Cowboy Mouth played a free show before the game where Steve Gleason knocked the ball. And I just had a feeling. I said, guys, I don't know what's going on, but I know we're going to the Super Bowl, and I know we're going to win it. And tonight, we're going to beat the hell out of the Falcons. And sure enough, Gleason jumped, and he blocked that. It was like everything turned in that moment for the Saints. It was great. It was awesome.
And you were telling me before we went on here that you grew up in River Ridge.
Yeah, River Ridge, Harahan, all that area. Yeah.
Now River Ridge, they've got the best Little League baseball team on planet Earth. They're not just they're not just Titletown, USA.
That's great.
River Ridge,
I know,
is Titletown, planet Earth.
That's awesome. That's great.
And they only had started the Little League there 6 years ago. Just think, if they had it there when you were growing up, your whole life might have changed. It might have turned out different.
It'd be awesome. It'd be great. You know what I mean? Like back then, you know, the Little League was kind of like the original Bad News Bears, you know, foul mouth, beer drinking Hellraisers, you know. But I mean, you got to say congrats to those guys because that's such an incredible feat. That's such an amazing accomplishment. That's really great.
Yeah, world champions at 12. I don't want to say they've peaked in life. I know getting married and having kids is going to be great. I mean, how?
But when they're in their 40s or 50s, it's like, man, when I was 12, yeah, life was good.
Remember those good old days? Hey, Fred, play us a song.
What do you want to hear?
Whatever you feel like playing.
Well, I'm going to go for the old favorite here. This song, as Hank Williams used to say, this song bought me a lot of beans and biscuits. I got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. A dime's a nickel and a nickel's none. I throw myself into the Sunday sun. A summer Sunday when you went insane. You said you're going, but I said I can't. Throwing oranges in an apple cart. The tides had bound to tear me apart. Jenny said yes, turn off the radio. Jenny said yes, turn off the lights. Jenny said yes, turn off the video. You beat yourself up to bring yourself down. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Oh, and the world is coming down on me. I let it go. Got no reason for the things I say. She turned toward me, then she turned away. There's lots of forces in a modern world that take the toll upon a modern girl. I got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. A dime's a nickel and a nickel's none. I throw myself into the Sunday sun. Jenny said yes, turn off the radio. Jenny said yes, turn off the lights. Oh, Jenny said yes, turn off the video. You beat yourself up because you love it. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Oh, when the world is coming down on me, I let it go. Take it with me, John. Come on, you can sing it. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Oh, when the world is coming down on me, I let it go. I'm gonna let it go. I said I'm gonna let it go. Nice job, John. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Good job, Fred.
Thank you.
Hey, let me ask you
soft money.
You know, when Guns N' Roses came out with Sweet Child of Mine, everybody said that song was about Erin Everly, the woman Axl Rose was dating at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Knack had the song My Sharona. She was a one.
Yeah.
Is Jenny around? And does Jenny know that that song paid a lot of bills for you?
Oh, yeah. Jenny was, Jenny and her family were from Kenner. That's where, when we dated, this is about 500 years ago, she was living in Kenner. She lives in Atlanta now. She's married to a guy, really good guy. They have a kid. But it's, you know, I think it's kind of a small point of pride. It's funny. We did a private show last December in Houston. And it was this odd gig where the guy said, listen, you can advertise it as a free Cowboy Mouse show. So I don't think he expected to do what we did, but it was a little birthday party at a little kind of patio bar, and we were paying good money, and we were being paid good money for it. And so we said, hey, guys, it's a free Cowboy Mouse show. And literally 1,000 people showed up, and he had to wall off his party. And he was a little tense, but as the party went going on, he did, you know, he got looser and drunker, and it was a lot of fun. And I had him dance on the table for all the fans who had showed up for free, and he was doing table dance. It was really funny. It was hysterical. After the show, it turns out he was Jenny's nephew. And one of Jenny's sisters, a woman by the name of Ariane, I forgot her last name, real sweet lady. She was actually there, and we caught up, and she let me know what's going on. So, yeah. Jenny was real. Jenny is real. Jenny is somewhere in Georgia.
Good stuff. That's Fred LeBlanc hanging out on the show with us. And he is playing the Who Dat Rally and Music Festival. It's going to be the biggest.
It's going to be Sunday, September 8th.
Black and gold pep rally this year. Not this weekend, next weekend. It's at LaSalle Park in Metairie. Hey, let's. You want to do another one right now?
What do you want to do? Am I singing another song?
Yes. Play whatever you want to play.
Dealer's choice. Fine. Whatever you got.
This is a song that, I'll do this. We were talking about Katrina and everything, so I'll do a short version of this. This is a song, we actually played this on the Ellen Show. This song was about Katrina, so. About growing up on St. Charles Avenue and watching Mardi Gras parades.
water broke past the levee. My heart beats hard and heavy. There's so much more to say, but I'm silent for now. I'm lost deep in the emotions that hit me, just like an ocean that seems so refreshing once, but it's not for now. Because the marching bands will roll, I'll find my city in my soul. Because I plan on growing old on the avenue,
St. Charles Avenue, ladies and gentlemen, in the greatest city in the world, New Orleans, Louisiana, baby.
My best friend's house lies beneath the teardrops God has bequeathed to add to the pool of rage that'll flow for now. I never thought I would see in my lifetime in my memory, but fate has a way to show who's the boss for now. Because the marching band will roll, I'll find my city in my soul. Because I plan on growing old on the avenue, and the parades will ride again, I'll see my family and my friends. Because this cannot be the end of the avenue. Yes, all the marching bands have rolled.
And to hell with the referees, because the Saints already won the Super Bowl. And they're going to do it again this year.
And there ain't nowhere else to go but the avenue.
There you go.
How about
yay.
Greg,
I like the lighter. John held up a lighter. He held up a lighter. He didn't hold up his phone. He held up an actual lighter.
That was pretty. That was very pretty. And I thought you only knew how to play that song, and I thought you only knew how to play Jenny Says on the drums.
No. I'm a versatile musician, man.
Very talented guy.
It's just singing at 9:30 a.m. in the morning gives me a little rough. It's not as easy as it used to be.
Well, this has been fun, Fred.
It's a lot of fun. Let's do it again sometime, John.
You like working here?
I love working here. Yeah, I do on Saturday mornings. I do a show from 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings. Cowboy Mouth Fred. Kat was generous enough to give me a slot here, and she's very patient with me because, you know, I'm not used to a job, a real job.
Yeah, well, I feel
you know
the
how
same
it is?
Way.
Yeah,
she
you know
she was very nice to me, and yes, she's great. Very patient with me as well.
She's great. She's nutty as a fruitcake, but we love her. You know, we love her to death. So,
well, Fred, this has been a pleasure.
Thanks, John.
And don't forget, not this weekend, next weekend, it's Cowboy Mouth. They're leading the way at the Hoodat Rally and Music Festival. It's going to be the biggest pep rally for the Saints, the Black and Gold, this year. And it's going to be at LaSalle Park in Metairie. Besides Cowboy Mouth, the Top Cats, Big Sam's Funky Nation, the Producers, Supercharger, and much more. And you've been around for so long, Fred. I'm sure you know all of these guys. Every time you guys get together, you always must raise hell.
Oh, yeah, we just raise hell. We tell stories, you know. I got Rob Schulte from the Top Cats. Big Sam's an old friend. And, you know, we just get together. Maybe I'll try to pull some of those clowns on stage with us just for fun, if they'll still be around, unless they're running to other gigs, you know.
And I know you've seen Cowboy Mouth before, but if you haven't, it's always a good time. And if you don't have a good time at a Cowboy Mouth show,
you must be dead.
It's your problem. Fred LeBlanc, great seeing you. Thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
The commercial free ride on the Osterlin Show continues here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So last night, after the waters subsided here in New Orleans, I took a boat over to Taco Bell on South Claiborne Avenue. I went with a friend of mine, and
you're lucky to be alive.
Well, I'm. If you listen to this show, you know I love Taco Bell. I mean, I it's incredible how many different menu items they can make with literally three or four items. You know, you're talking about beans, and you're talking about cheese, and you're talking about beef, and you can call them so many different things.
You could call it beef, yes.
Mm. But we walked into the one on Claiborne Avenue, and as soon as I walked in there, there were two kiosks right to the left. And I looked at them, and then I looked to my right, and there was no one at the cash register. I mean, there was someone working there, but there was no one in line there. So I said, what do I do? Do I turn and walk to the person and give him my order who's behind the cash register there at Taco Bell? Or do I turn to my left and just punch in what I want in order right there on the kiosk? Brewster, it blew my mind. I've seen pictures of kiosks, but now what would you do if you were in that situation?
Now, let me understand. You're talking about, when you say kiosk, you're not talking about just a cashier station that's unmanned. You're talking about something where you actually order yourself? Because I don't go to, I haven't been inside a Taco Bell ever.
Yeah,
Taco Bell to me means 3:30 in the morning and I'm hammered.
It's basically like a self-checkout that you've seen in supermarkets or whatever, Walmarts.
Never mind what I think. What did you do?
I looked at the guy working behind the cash register. I smiled. Then I turned to the left and I typed in my order on the kiosk. And I got my chicken quesadilla, my tacos. And my friend got my Mexican pizza right there at the kiosk. You just swipe your card. And the guy gave me
an unmanned Taco Bell.
Yeah, the guy gave me a dirty look. The employee who was working behind the cash register. But I've never used a kiosk before like that. And at Taco Bell, and I said, wow, this blew my mind. And it was real quick. And then a few minutes go by, and some guy comes walking out the back screaming, John, because you put your name on, you type in your name on your order.
Well, it's good to see that they're spending all their profits on technology.
But it was still delicious. And I kind of felt bad for the guy that was working there. It was almost like I was choosing to go through the thing that's going to take his job eventually instead of him.
You're a simple sword, aren't you?
I'm extremely simple. But, yeah, that blew my mind. All right, that's just about going to do it for our show today. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks to Fred LeBlanc.
Yeah, thanks to Cowboy Mouth's Fred LeBlanc for coming in and hanging out with us.
If you missed that, we actually shot video, and that'll be on the website in a little bit.
That's Bayou957.com. Talented guy, that Fred LeBlanc. And Ginty is coming up next. Ginty! It's 2 for Tuesday in 5 minutes. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.